You're invited to the largest local government event in the world. The ICMA Annual Conference features over 150 sessions and events presented by local government management experts, as well as keynotes and featured speakers who will discuss a range of insightful, historical, and social-cultural issues. You'll take home an abundance of educational, information sharing, and networking tools to help you manage your community in today's complex environment. Learn more and register today at icma.org/conference. Welcome to Making a Difference, the latest season of podcasts from ICMA's Local Gov Life. I'm your host, Erica White. In this series, we'll talk with three local government professionals, an elected official, and a community stakeholder about the way professional management makes a difference in a community's quality of life. On this episode, ICMA's Michelle Frisbee sits down with Dr. Robert Fortner, a retired kidney specialist turned activist. Bob and his wife Nancy live on a 10-acre farm called Sweet Life, which is located 5 minutes from the city of Bainbridge Island, Washington. Bob, alongside several other Bainbridge Island residents, was instrumental in bringing the council-manager form of government to the island.
To kick things off, tell us a little bit about the look and feel of Bainbridge Island. For example, the population, demographics, culture, sense of place.
We're an island just west of Seattle, connected by a ferry route. We have about 24,000 people who live here on about 27, 28 square miles. We're attached to the mainland by a bridge, so we're not an island in the strategic sense because we have road access across a bridge. We have a mixed population. We are mostly white. We have some diversity. If you Google Bainbridge Island, you'll read about the impact of World War II and the sequestration of the Japanese, because the island was the first to have its citizens evacuated. We have the highest educational attainment level of any city in the state. Much of our population emigrates to Seattle every morning and comes home every evening on the large ferry service that communicates with downtown Seattle. These are lawyers, doctors, tech people, what have you. We have recently had a tech boom in a sense because we're catching some of the spin-off population growth from Seattle. We're trying very much to stay the rural-urban picture that has attracted so many people here. We have tree-lined roads, we have lots of forest, we have meadows, and as people I'm sure know, we have plenty of rainfall that provides the sustenance for this green growth. The island itself has a very tight sense of place. It is what attracted my wife and I to come here in 1989 because we determined this was a community that cares about community itself and the place where everybody lives, and that's proven to be the case. It's a wonderful place to live.
Bainbridge Island is part of Puget Sound, and it's often cited as one of the best places to live in the United States. What is the major source of the island's economy, and how have those sources been affected by the technological and economic changes of the past few years?
We don't export very much of anything. We have a few small businesses that are in the production side mostly. The economy is that which is supported by the island residents. We're expecting that we will have more tech people coming to this vicinity because the ferry ride is a peaceful way to transition from work to home. And we don't have road noise. We don't have much of a crime issue. And we have a very rural, quiet setting. At 10 o'clock at night, pretty much the sidewalks roll up in the downtown area.
So what do you as a resident see as the biggest challenge facing Bainbridge Island in the next decade or so?
I think it's probably addressing the issues of growth. We've had a building spurt in the last few years with developments, single homes, what have you. And while we have a lot of undeveloped land, much of it is in a forested acreage that the city actually purchased from the state years ago when they threatened to cut down the entire forest to market the timber. We do not have a water source other than the aquifers that lie below the island. And so we monitor those to be sure that we're not draining those in any way. And so it's going to be a matter of balancing people's interest in moving here, businesses' interest in land development and management of the resources.
Back in 2009, you participated in a grassroots residents group called Vote Council Manager 09. Tell us a little bit about this organization and the reason for its creation.
As we approached an election time a few years after we had moved here, Nancy and I realized that we didn't really know much about what was going on. Right after we moved here, the island voted to become an all-island city. Prior to that, the incorporated area was just the main business district. Everything else was under the county, and the residents wanted more control. And so they voted to become an all-island city. What that resulted in was we then had 5 individual taxing districts on the island. We had the library, we had the city, we had the schools, we had parks, we had fire. All these entities had their own boards and their own agendas. So we set out to understand how all that worked together. We created a group of like-minded citizens that we met here monthly for over 6 years until we had the council manager vote. During that time, we tried to understand and influence where we could some of the activities. And as the city was approaching really a crisis point from a financial standpoint, the sitting mayor asked our group to participate in the next year's budgeting. That turned out to be a real interesting experience, and it led to our decision to change the form of government. Because what we learned was, under this well-intended, strong mayor and a finance director who we thought understood what it was all about, and you may recall seeing the slide I showed at the ICMA meeting where Doug and I talked that showed the $10 million drop in island reserves, we became very concerned that we needed professional management. And so some of the members of the resource group, as we called ourselves, and other members of the community helped form the group that organized the vote. And we had 90 days to prepare for that election. So we had coffees, we did all kinds of things to try to help population understand that we needed experienced, trained professional management for the city. Our motto for that was, elect the leaders, hire the management. We successfully pulled off that vote. We got a 70% approval for the change, and we adopted council manager form of government.
ICMA was delighted to work with the Vote Council Manager 09 group on that project. Can you tell me specifically what it was about the council manager form of government and professional local government management that made you and many of your neighbors so committed to this effort to change the form of government in Bainbridge Island?
There are two things that stand out in my mind. One is that somewhere along the way in our online research, we discovered this video of a city in the upper Midwest. Somebody went there with a television camera and asked people on the street what they thought of their government. And everybody loved it, but they didn't have the slightest idea what it was. And we said, that's what we want. And the other thing that drove this home was, at the time, we were running a business that was just half a block away from City Hall. And we could see a member of the finance department make a trip to the post office most mornings before the mail was actually due to be delivered to City Hall. And we learned that they were looking for checks to deposit. It was that tight. We walked right up to the abyss of bankruptcy, and we knew we had to change.
So Bainbridge Island adopted council manager government in 2009. Tell us a little bit about the transition from the previous structure.
None of us had any government experience. It was a rough road for several years. City administrator at that time sat in for a brief period of time as acting city manager, and I think that was Mark Dombrowski. And we had 2 or 3 others who came and went, and we finally elected a council that was able to get their head around the issues and put on a national search, and that's where we found Doug Schultz. Doug came here in 2012, and he righted the ship of state, so to speak.
Explain to us exactly how the council manager form of government works in Bainbridge Island. For example, how does the relationship between Doug and the elected officials really work on a day-to-day basis?
Doug is a strict follower of the ethical guidelines promoted by ICMA. He is apolitical. He often offers advice when asked, but does not attempt to lead. He leaves the leadership up to the members of the council. And luckily, for some of the time he's been here, we've had a council that worked better with him than others. We went through a really tough patch a couple of years ago where a council got elected and they all but fired him. They made his life miserable. And a legal associate friend and I decided to ask for email records from some of the members of the council who we knew were doing business outside the proper realm. We ended up, unfortunately, having to file a lawsuit, but we ended up with one of those serious scofflaws, actually was forced to resign or go to prison. So things cleaned up, and we now have reserves. When you look at the new website for the city of Bainbridge Island, it tells the whole story. It's totally transparent. It covers the waterfront in terms of the history, the people involved, and the budgeting is very clear. The city has gotten gold medal for its finance department. It's a light year's difference from what we were facing when we changed the form of government.
Good to hear that. In your opinion, what has been the critical difference that professional management contributes to the efficient operation of a local government?
Doug came to us from a city in which Bill Gates resides on the other side of Seattle. He was familiar with the culture of the Northwest. He was familiar with small town government. He brought the training and experience and professionalism that is required. When we were going through this struggle, we were looking at who are the candidates who are going to step up to even run for mayor. We've often had mayor elections in the past where they was unopposed. And these are well-meaning members of the community, but they don't have training or experience to deal with the complexities of modern city management. And we've now benefited hugely from that, dragged us back from the bankruptcy abyss and put us in the black. And we have a very smooth running city that the population is quite content with.
Can you cite one or two specific examples of how professional local government management has made a difference in Bainbridge Island?
The management of City Hall, when Doug came, we had some holdovers from prior years in the various department heads. He systematically examined, renewed, and assessed those departments, what their functions and targets ought to be, and successfully rehired people who shared both the vision and the educational accomplishments to do the job thoroughly and competently. It's what's made the difference for the city in terms of its operation.
You've been a true believer in professional local government management and the positive impact it has on your community's quality of life for quite some time now. What one thing do you say or would you say to your neighbors who aren't believers to convince them that this is the best way for a local government organization to be structured?
I would say revisit the community newspaper. At the time, we had a much more thriving newspaper than we do now, but you revisit the newspaper during the time that we were going through these struggles in the early 2000s that led up to the campaign to change the form of government. And the paper has articles that came from our resource group. It has letters to the editor who were looking at some of the other issues that we faced. No one, aside from the members of the resource group at the time, really had a significant clue about how close we came to bankruptcy. And when we started to point that out, I'm sure that's what led to the overwhelming support for the change of government, because we were faced with an upcoming election and probably no one to run against the current mayor who was trying to follow in her father's footsteps, who served as basically a mayor for life in some community in the Midwest. And we just knew that wasn't going to work for us.
Bob, this has been a fascinating story. I am so glad you could join us today to talk about it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. After each episode, join the conversation on social media. Look for the hashtag #MakingADifference and use it to share stories about the city, town, and county managers and administrators who make a difference in the quality of life in your community. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel to catch up on all seasons of Local Gov Life on iTunes or at icma.org/podcasts. Please share Local Gov Life on social media and tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening to ICMA's Local Gov Life.